Sinful man. Good morning, everybody. Majesty, what a great old worship song for all of us to start off today with. Well, guys, it is, can you believe it or not, it's January 16th already. Like, mind-blowing how fast time goes when you're having fun or as you get older. Want to play some background music here because that's what we do now. Want to take a sip of this nice, warm Rise Up coffee on this cold day? And I was thinking about something. While the music was playing and while the verses were showing this morning, and I was thinking about the blood of Jesus. And I saw OFP Farms in the chat. And I said to myself, huh. The blood of Jesus washes away all sins. And OFP Farms washes the rest. That should be OFP Farms' motto. The blood of Jesus washes away all sins. Let OFP Farms take care of the rest. I mean, come on. Denise, Corey, can we put that on a box? Can we put that LFA TV inspired quote? You don't even have to give me the credit. I think that would be amazing. I used to be in marketing, you know, and advertising. So, you know, some of these things come to me and I'm like, well, I would like to see that. Papa, there they are. Good one, Jeremy. The blood of Christ washes away all sins. Let OFP Farms take care of the rest. Or something to that effect. Bisbee Farm, good morning. Lala, good morning to you. Grammy Love in the building. Cat352, we already got a wonderful $34 donation from the one I am. Rachel says, I love marketing. Me too. It's such a cool job. If LFA TV ever goes by the wayside, I'll go back to marketing and advertising. I think all you have to do is just have your, you know, finger on the pulse of America and be an everyday person. That's the problem with marketing firms. They don't hire everyday people. Dane's X, good morning. Love the background. Well, thank you so much. So do I. I'd love to be actually sitting in there. Judy Bell says, I'm glad to be alive today. Amen. Amen. That's the new slogan for a soap bar from OFP, Annette. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? Good thing about having a small business is you can kind of do whatever you want. Thanson. Good morning from Nebraska. What a great state. Good morning to you. Good morning to my mother, Renee, and my sister, Crystal, and my other sister, Danielle. Wilson, God washes the soul. OFP washes the flesh. There you go. That's another one. Another beautiful one. Michael Brasco, good morning. Dottie is back. Dottie, is this what, your third episode, if I'm counting? Correct? I would love to continue to see you coming in here. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. That's the goal, right? Reaching out to others, bringing them into the flock. Kittenhead, good morning. Carol, good morning. Clee Sully is in the building. Mwah, good morning. Mary, I am. Hello and good morning. TJ is here. Good morning. And Rachel Hawk. Good morning. Well, folks, we titled today's show Conflict with Others. And there's a lot to discuss when we're talking about conflict with others because it's either to or fro, or it is a shared conflict. Meaning that you both have disdain for each other for whatever reason. But a lot of the times, it's not that way. Danson said, I love OFP Farms and Armra. I'm right there with you. A lot of the times, it's not shared. A lot of the times, there's conflict coming from one way to the other. And being a Christian doesn't shield you from that. As a matter of fact, it might multiply that conflict that people have with you. And we've never really talked about this on the show. It's one great thing about the Bible is I could do this show until the day I died and have a different topic every single day. W. Wilson, wow, Pastor Greg spoke on this last night, really? Send me the link in the lower comment section. I'd love to watch it. You know, it's just another one of those. It's just another one of those God bringing people to His people together moments. Like I'll find out, you know, days later that you and you know Julie Green or you and Pastor Greg or you and you know whomever had the same exact message. But yet none of us watched each other's shows. So very blessed to know that others who do what I'm doing are, you know, being led towards the same message. That is how you know God is speaking. How else would we be able to do that? I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to have the same message as some amazing, renowned speaker. Somebody who's actually a pastor, unless God formed it out of clay. Moose for Trump, Pastor Locke was amazing last night. Well, look at that. Someday he'll come on the show. Someday. Someday Ray will come on the show too. It'll all come down to God's timing. Well, we have 822 people in here. I think it's a great time to finally say some prayer. So if you will join me in the Lord's prayer, well, not in the Lord's prayer, in prayer to the Lord, we'll get to that immediately. So please bow your heads and join with me. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord and Heavenly Almighty Father, we come to you today and request that you guide us in this message of conflict with others. How we address it, who we involve, and how we should act. Lord, there are many, many potential and possibly current conflicts going on in our lives that we can stop before it even happens or reconcile before it's too late. Lord, we ask that you guide us today in this message. We ask that you give us the heavenly courage to follow through with this message and apply it into our lives after today's show. And we thank you for the blessing that you give us of life, liberty, love, peace, and the pursuit of happiness. We thank you for being with us where we are gathered. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. W. Wilson, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. I will check that out. And I'm very curious to see how similar our messages really are. I haven't talked to Pastor Locke in about a year. Believe it or not. Last time I spoke with him, and those who follow him probably remember this, people had put his name and his real cell phone number. They were writing it on bathroom stalls and bathroom walls and posting it all over the internet and encouraging people to reach out to him personally and threaten him. We even had some attempts at burning down his place or scaring him off or That was the last time I talked to him. So maybe God is telling me today to reach out back to him. Maybe W. Wilson and everybody and Moose for Trump in here telling me that about his message last night was for me to reach out to him. Maybe it is time that we reach out to each other again. Conflict with others is a very important subject and topic to talk about. Because there are many different conflicts that you can have. And I think the two sides that we need to focus on here are conflicts within the church and conflicts outside the church. Because conflicts inside the church or and when I say inside the church, I don't just mean inside four walls, doors, windows, and a roof. Because the way you deal with a conflict inside the body of Christ with other fellowshipping members might be a little bit different than the way you deal with conflict outside the body of Christ with non-believers and Gentiles. However, I think that if you go about it the way the Bible teaches us to go about it, whether it's inside the body of Christ or outside the church, I think God wants us to deal with it somewhat the same. And he gives us a step-by-step solution to it. And I'm reminded of when my wife and I were going through some serious troubles about a year ago. I didn't know if we were going to make it. Marriage sometimes can be very difficult. And I think it's just because, I think it's very obvious and simple. The two of you lose your way. And it's the devil is like, yeah, I'm going to stick pride in here. I'm going to stick doubt in here. I'm going to drive a wedge in between God's blessed union. And my wife, although I don't agree with the way she went about doing it, still to this day, my wife was correct in how she wanted to handle it. And the Bible, again, gives us a very detailed step-by-step process in how to handle that. And I'll admit that there was a little bit of pride that had seeped in, well, maybe a lot of bit of pride that seeped into my thought process on how she handled it. I think there was some validity there as well, but maybe not as much as I was judging by my actions. You would have thought well, I'll just explain it to you. So, here we go. When my marriage was on the rocks, and I'm talking about conflict in marriage at this moment. We're going to also talk about conflict within friendships and people who are not even friends. We had a lot of, it wasn't one issue that led to this. It was just many different things over the years and boiled up into a, you know, boiled up into a moment where we couldn't, a moment in time where we couldn't get through to each other. She wasn't listening to what I had to say because maybe I was saying it in a very incorrect way. And I wasn't listening to what she had to say because I didn't believe that she felt that I was coming from the heart, even if I was saying it in a way that may have sounded like I was attacking, you know? I'm a very loud, upfront kind of guy, and sometimes I just don't beat around a bush. Long story short, the Bible tells us when we have conflict within the body of Christ, and my wife and I fall into that, that we are to take our problems to each other. That's step one. And this goes for the same thing with other members inside the church. The Bible tells us we're supposed to bring our problems to one another. And I have no notes today. Today I'm speaking from the heart, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the talking. And if that doesn't work, then we are supposed to involve other members of the body of Christ as witnesses to maybe help mediate or negotiate terms, right? Basically some outside views that share the same goal of reconciliation as you do with the person that you're having conflict with. So that's step two. And then step three is you are to take this conflict to basically the elders of the church, whether it be the pastor or whether it be other members of the body of Christ who are very wise in this reconciliation process. My wife and I could not meet on step one. We could not meet each other in the middle on step one. I couldn't bring my problems to her without it going into a huge fight, and she couldn't bring her problems to me without it starting a huge fight. There wasn't civility in you're doing this to me and it's hurting me, or I'm doing this to you and it's hurting you. There was no civility there. It was just looked at as you're lashing out at me or I'm lashing out at you. So we couldn't come together on step one. Step two, bringing others into the fold as witnesses. This hardly ever goes well in a marriage. Now, this might go a lot better outside of a marriage, but still in the body of Christ. But in a marriage, you tend to go to your friends on each side that have just heard you venting to them for the last 2 or 3 months. And a lot of the times, they will have a somewhat of a biased approach to reconciliation. But if you have good friends, really, you know how you know if you have good friends? Here's how you know if you have good friends. And I have good friends. How you know that you have good friends is that when you go to them to moan and complain or vent to them about your marriage, the good friend will always play the other side, or pardon the pun here, but devil's advocate. And what they will do is, if you have a good friend, they will say, maybe you're not seeing it from your spouse's point of view. And they will try to wear the shoes of your spouse and try to talk some sense into you, or maybe get you to open your eyes. That's a good friend. A good friend will always side at first with the other, or at least try to get you to understand where they might be coming from as an objective point of view. An even better friend will try to turn you both to Christ, right? Because that is where we always should go. Sometimes, like I said, pride will seep in and division will be caused to a point where it's almost impossible. Now, I'll say that her friends were not like my friends. Her friends were more of the Chatty Cathy, well, if he's going to do that, then you should... And I never faulted them for that. I never went after them and said, hey, stay out of my wife and I's business. I never did that. But I know that's what they were saying. So we couldn't come together on step one. Step two was pretty much a failure. But we never tried to do step two the way that the Bible tells us to do step two, which is all come together. We did it biasly from each side. So step two, step one, we couldn't do. Step two, we skipped completely. And step three, going to your pastor or your elders is something she did without me knowing. And that is where I held a grudge. Probably shouldn't have, but I did. Now, I've talked about what happens next before with you guys, when it was happening, and I'll get to that in a minute. Now, this show is not conflict with your wife. It's conflict with others, but I'm starting here. And so she went to our pastor multiple times without me knowing. And I didn't like that. Now, granted, had she said, hey, I would like to go sit down and talk with Pastor together, I probably would have had a little pushback on that because it's just old habits. And maybe that's why she did it. Maybe she thought that I would never, ever do that because of my past statements about, you know, therapy and things like that. So she went to the pastor herself two or three times. And instead of seeing the biblical proper way that she handled it, I saw it as a stab in the back. Like, we should have done this together. Now, pastor probably thinks all these things about me that are probably some are not even true just because of the way you feel. She did the right thing. I looked at it as you didn't do it the right way. You did the right thing, but you didn't do it the right way. She looked at it as you wouldn't have come if I asked. Long story short, one day, she came down to the kitchen, bawling. We had a big feud for a long time at that moment. And she dropped to her knees in front of me, bawling, put her hands like this and fell on her face and begged me to engage in this process with her or else our marriage was over. And sometimes for some of us, like myself, it takes a visual like that to finally break down the walls that you build around your heart. Here's my wife, whom I love, whom I'm supposed to be equal with, and she's on her knees in front of me, face on the ground, tears running through the cracks in the wood on the floor, begging me to not continue to not seek help from a biblical point of view and help have people come in and help us. Never forget that. Then we went and we had a meeting with the pastor. And what I realized at that moment was premarital counseling, if you can do that before you get married, So important. Biblical premarital counseling, by the way, because it teaches you how to deal with these problems that you don't know how to deal with. So you deal with them in your own way. And what that does is lead to some serious stuff. Now, do we still have problems today? Every marriage does. Do we communicate better? Yes. Are we perfect at it? No. No. Matter of fact, there's some things that I'd like to talk to her about right now. And I'm sure there's some things that she'd like to talk to me about right now. But there's a little bit of fear there sometimes because of our past. We don't know if she brings something to me and I bring something to her, if it's going to cause this explosion. And now that we don't have a specific church that we are fully engaged with and trust the people and know the elders, because we left and we've been kind of church hopping, gone to a couple places twice, but now it's, God said, now you have me. And if you guys bring things to each other today without having a church that you, quote, belong to, well, how are you going to do this? You have to have me involved. So, again, there's a step-by-step process with dealing with conflict. And that same process, that same step-by-step process needs to be done with other people in the body of Christ as well. And it's not always going to go good, not at first, but humbled, God-fearing people will end up coming to the table at some point. It's like planting a seed. It may not be done, you know, it's like an intervention. It may not feel so great when you're doing it. Now, what about outside the church? What about people that don't believe in a heavenly, focused, God-driven path? Well, I think what you have to do is still follow the same process. If somebody has a problem with you, or you have a problem with somebody else outside the church, the best thing to do, A, is to not harbor and hold hate or a grudge, because that's just going to fester and you'll probably never reconcile with this person. No matter if it's from you to them or from them to you. And what do they say? This isn't really a biblical thing. This is more of a social thing. But what do they say? Honesty, transparency, and communication is the key to fixing everything. Communication. So even if it's somebody outside the church, I recommend doing what God says to do. And we'll get to that verse here in a minute. But going to them personally, not publicly, not on Facebook, not just not talking to each other. Go to that person and be like, hey, there's an issue here that I want to talk about, because I'd hate for it to fester into something where you and I are no longer a part of each other's life. And this isn't going to be easy, but I felt it's necessary for me to come to you with this issue, because I might be completely wrong here, but it's still an issue that I need to come to you with. That's the first thing that you should do, in or outside the church. Now, the next step of bringing in others as witnesses. This may be a little harder when you're outside the church, because if you're outside the church and it's not done, like if you're talking to somebody who does not believe in God, a Gentile, an atheist, an agnostic, whatever, they're not going to be so keen on, or why are you bringing this person into this? Why are you bringing this person into this? You know, that's like tagging somebody online. That's the way they're going to see it. Oh, you're tagging somebody to come and help you fight your battles. But that's the step after you go to them. So say you go to them and you're like, hey, got this issue. And they're like, yeah, no. Most people just give up. Well, they're like, well, screw that guy or screw that girl. I tried. They don't want anything to hear. They don't want to hear anything. Screw them. That's the way a lot of it happens. But we should be very adamant on fixing a conflict, because it'll eat at your soul. You won't sleep at night. It'll be horrible, especially if it's a friend of yours. Now, I have friends that are not believers, really good friends that would do anything for me. That's not to say that they're atheists. They're just not, they don't have a relationship with Christ. And I've had problems with them. And you know what we've done? We've ignored each other to the point where we just 4 months later start talking again and we forget about it. You can't do that because that stuff just kind of exists still. And you got to squash it. So if you are not inside the body of Christ, having a conflict with somebody or somebody having a conflict with you, do your best. Don't just try once, one and done. Try again. Try again. And maybe even involve their wife or your wife, somebody close that's not just a stranger, like you would inside the church. You're bringing somebody that you're familiar with, not a stranger. Somebody that they say, oh, they're going to side with you because they know you. So it's almost like the same process. You go to them first. You bring somebody familiar with you to kind of maybe see it from both sides and kind of help if they're willing to do that. The third thing you can't really do outside the church, if you're talking with somebody who doesn't believe or isn't a believer, you're not going to be able to go to the church elders with them. So if there's no reconciliation possible, then you are to treat them as a Gentile. Pray for their soul, continue to pray for them, and move on. That's how you deal with conflict. And we know this because of Matthew 5, 15 through 18. Matthew 5, 15 through 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him to you be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Conflicts will eat at your soul. It's the worst. Can you imagine how much further you would be in your life or on your journey with Jesus if you mended every conflict in your life currently or in your past? Now, we have talked about mending relationships with family members before, but we've not really spoke about conflict with others as a whole. Now, there's people out there that have conflict with me that I don't even know. This morning, it got brought to my attention that on the LFA family page on Facebook, somebody has started a page bashing me and calling me this fraud for accepting donations and all of this stuff. I don't even know who this person is. More than likely, it's somebody who got muted from the chat a while ago, and they're starting this crap. But you know what I said? I hold no grudges against these people. I wish I knew who they were so I could talk to them. But this is nothing new for me. And Christ said they hated me way before they ever hated you. And you're going to get people coming after you day and night. Do I hate those people? No. Immediately I prayed for those people. And I said in the family page this morning, Jesus said that you know people's heart by their fruits, by their works, not by what they say. And I asked in that chat, Do you all know who I am? That's it. You know me by my works. What have I done since you've known me? Do you think I'm some kind of a fraudster? Enriching myself off lies? A non-helper to other people? A slanderer, a blasphemer, or a liar? That's up to you. Do you see Jesus in my daily works? That's what I asked. Your conduct should be honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2:12. So my advice to you today as we get ready to end the message and move into our video and continued video of the Bible is this. If there's any conflict currently going on in your life or in your past that you did not do your best to reconcile, you can only control what you can do, not what somebody else does. Then I suggest you do your best to write them down today, if there's a lot of them, and reach back out. Do something, because you know it bothers you. And right now, as I'm speaking, I know a lot of you are thinking in your heads, oh, this person, that person, my uncle, my aunt, my sister, my brother, my father, my mother, my friend at work, my old church buddy. And mend any problem, or at least try your best today. Free yourselves from the shackles of that bond. Bondage, I should say. Dottie Gooden, brand new in here, and she's already donating $10, saying respect and kindness goes a long way. It sure does. It sure does. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to a continued, I should say, visual of the Bible, and we're still in Genesis. Let's go.
And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah...
Are you?
Well, they already... See, I had it paused. They're like, nope, you can't pause without us doing a commercial. Okay, here we go.
His son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
Are you ready to see your brand on TV?
Oh, they really flood you with them, huh? Trying to keep you from the word of God? All right, here we go.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram,
get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said,
Unto thy seed will I give this land.
And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife,
Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
And it came to pass, that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep, and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said,
What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way.
And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot,
Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Sounds like Hollywood.
And the Lord said unto Abram,
after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee.
Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel king of Shinar, Arioch king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer king of Elam, and Tidal king of nations, that these made war with Bera king of Sodom, and with Birsha king of Gomorrah, Shinab king of Admah, and Shemeber king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shaveh-Kiriatim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of Nation, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew. for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we got to stop it, unfortunately. I actually just looked at the clock, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 9 o'clock right now. Oh, anyway, guys, yeah, it is 9 o'clock right now, so we're going to head on out, but don't worry, Sean Farish and Ungoverned is right now on LFA TV, followed by, as always, 2 hours of Live from America. I really enjoyed the message today, and it really helped me out as well. Hope it helped you out. Now it's time to just bite down, head up, and apply it into your lives. You will be grateful for it. God bless each and every one of you. Pick it back up tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a nice Ray Comfort video tomorrow. All right, guys. God bless you. Have a great day. End your conflict with others. See you later.